Yeah, thank you. Good evening. It's really lovely to be with you this evening. My name's Mark Bailey. I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. Not that I'm that exciting, but just to share a little bit of my story. And hopefully tonight you'll pick up on a bit of a theme of faithfulness. God's goodness to us, God's faithfulness to us, God's presence with us. So lots of the words and the songs that I've chosen tonight help us to remember God's faithfulness and God's presence with us. Amen. Great words of hope and faith. It is well. Those words that sometimes we don't always find easy to sing, do we? We can certainly sing them easily sometimes, but actually to really believe, Lord, it is well with my soul. Whatever's going on around me, it is well with my soul because of you, Jesus. And I just thought I'd tell you a little bit of who I am, who this chap is that's just kind of speaking and sharing a bit tonight. Just to tell my story of God's faithfulness a little bit. And I hope as I tell my story a little bit, it's not about me, but that maybe you remember some of your stories of God's faithfulness and goodness to you through the years. My family, I've got two children. I've got Callum, who's 19, and Erin, who's 16. Just about to start her GCSE mocks next week. So please pray for me and my family. Pray for that peace this week. And my wife, Fiona. And we live now in East Ling. Been there just over a year and a half, just down the road, actually. I'm new to Somerset. I'm a North Devon born and bred man, which is how I came to know Barry and Rosemary Breyer and Becca and all the others as well. I'm just so thankful to be here tonight. We used to come out every summer quite often and camp in their field with the cows around us, and it was a chance for us just to be with them as family, because Barry and Rosemary looked after my mum and dad when they were sort of new to the Lord in Ilfracombe. And so there's a story of God's faithfulness, isn't it? People that look out for us along the way and journey in friendship and support. And over the years, we've stayed in touch, and certainly my mum and dad are good friends with Barry and Rosemary and catch up with them. And I'm just so thankful for that. And maybe you're thankful for friends that you've got along the way that you've journeyed with and are thankful for. I'm sure you are. And for me now, I was a teacher. I was a primary school teacher for 17 years in different places near Winchester, in Leeds. And then in Crediton, came back to Devon because my family was still in Devon and still are now. And I'm thankful for all those years when I've been able to help encourage and be there for young people and help them and support them. We've got to keep looking after our young people, haven't we, and blessing them and looking after them and helping them along the way. And I'm thankful for God for that. And then I started to explore what it would look like for me to go into church ministry. And so I did some bits of training and bits of theology. And during that time, I was like, Lord, where do you want me to go? Where is it you're leading me on to? And I went for a weekend away to Lee Abbey. I don't know if you've heard of Lee Abbey up on the North Devon coast near Linton. Went there for one weekend with that prayer in my heart, Lord, where do you want me to go? And then I found myself being called with my family to live in community for 5 years, helping run the youth and children and the outdoor centre there. A real privilege, but a time of having to trust the Lord day by day. It's a place where you see miracles happen every day. Imagine 100 people, 120 people being fed every day by an international community, some that don't speak English, and trying to get the meals out on the table on time and catering for allergies. Miracles happen there every day. Trying to run a farm with community, with people who don't know the word for wheelbarrow. Trying to explain a wheelbarrow to someone who's from Brazil, who speaks Portuguese, or shut that gate. That was the one English phrase he did learn in a year. Shut the gate, when the farmer used to shout at him across the estate. But God's faithfulness, God's goodness. And that was a place where I learned to really trust God. Because I would sit in my office and I was planning for schools to be coming in a year's time. And I'd be looking at my whiteboard going, actually, no, they'll come in 2 years' time. And I'd book a school in to come to the activity centre. But I knew that all my team would have left by then. And I had to get a whole new team in, 10 people, and train them to be ready. And I'd say, Lord, please bring people. And he did. God is good. God brought people at the right time with the right skills. And my faith, though small as a mustard seed, did grow in that time. And I'm sure you've got those times where you've prayed, Lord, it feels impossible, but please answer my prayer. And then my final bit of God's faithfulness in my story is, as I'd left teaching and stepped out into Lee Abbey, it was a bit like going, well, okay, I'm stepping away from that. Lord, where are you calling me into? And that was when I had a cup of tea with someone who works for the Southwest Baptist Association. And he just said, oh, there's a church in Crete you might be interested in. And so that was the door that the Lord opened. And I'm so thankful for his goodness. So I'm now assistant minister at Crete Baptist Church. And it's been another learning experience. But I'm thankful for what God's doing there. Thankful for the other ministers that I work with. The opportunities we have, quite an interesting opportunity in season. God's doing stuff amongst us, and we're like, oh, that's interesting. We've got asylum seekers coming to our church, which is fascinating, from Junction 24 and the Holiday Inn there. It's about 280 asylum seekers, and the people that live around them are blessing them and looking after them and caring for them, and they're coming along to church. We had a couple from Turkey, a Kurdish couple, sort of nominally Muslim in their own country, but even when they lived in Turkey, felt the Lord calling them, and they were baptized in our church a few weeks ago. And they think, Lord, what are you doing? That's amazing. You are good. You are faithful. You are with us. So that's a little bit of who I am. That's a little bit of my journey. And maybe afterwards, when we have a cup of tea, I'd love to hear some of your little journeys, your little faith stories of your faithfulness and God's goodness to you. But I wonder if we could just turn to prayer for a minute. Tonight, I'm going to carry on looking at this theme of faithfulness and God's presence with us by reading from Psalm 121. Psalm 121. I've got the words nice and big in front of me. Would anyone like to come up and read that just to change my voice for a minute? It's only 8 verses. Would anyone like to come and read that for us this evening? Yeah, come on, my friend. You're looking at me. I'm going to take that as a yes. If you've got it in your Bible, I've got it nice and big there if you want it. Great. Thank you. That's great. 1, 2, 1.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Brilliant. I think I've got my clicker working. I'm looking at you, Jill. Is that going to work? Yeah, there it is. Brilliant. Thank you. That's great. So a few little bits on screen just to kind of help us. And that's an image there of Jerusalem. So this psalm, psalms, first of all, before we get into what that picture is, psalms are a chance for us to really hear and respond to poetry and songs, to those heartfelt cries, those cries of joy, those cries of pain, those cries of suffering, those cries of why, Lord. And so I love coming into the Psalms because they're real, aren't they? They're gritty. They're people that are doing well, that are struggling, that are seeking the Lord. And so for me and for you, that's really helpful. We can come to Psalms and go, yeah, thank you, Lord. I can use these words. When I haven't got words to say, sometimes I come to the Psalms and go, I'm going to read that because I need that. And this is a psalm for me that I love. This is a psalm that just reminds us of God's goodness and faithfulness to us. And this Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, these psalms are called the Psalms of Ascent. They were going up to Jerusalem. It was their pilgrimage ones. And so as you hear this psalm, you can almost imagine them walking along, praying, singing, knowing these words of by heart. These psalms would have come out of them. You can imagine them going, I lift my eyes to the mountain, walking with their friends. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You can feel it, can't you? Telling this story as they journeyed together. And throughout this, there's a theme of God's peace throughout these 14 Psalms, focusing on how knowing the Lord's presence and mercy brings peace. And so this image here, as I said, is what they think Jerusalem would have looked like, the temple there, this image. And you can imagine them walking through the valleys and reaching up and looking and seeing the temple in the distance, saying these songs together. Each year, the people of Israel would have made three sacred journeys to Jerusalem for different feasts throughout the year. And on the way, they would be singing these psalms. Isn't that lovely? They were prayers about walking towards God. And they were physically doing that as they got closer to Jerusalem and drawing closer. For us, it's about drawing closer to Jesus. That's why we come together. That's why we gather together. That's why Jesus said, don't stop meeting together. Keep joining together. And that's why we do that. We are still pilgrims today, aren't we? We're still journeying to Jesus. We're still journeying together as we gather each week. And the pilgrims would have also been recalling times when they knew the presence of God. Just like I told you a bit of my story, not to say, oh, look how great Mark Bailey is. Not at all. To say, remember God's presence along the way. Remember God's faithfulness as you look back through your life. It's good to share our stories of God's goodness and faithfulness in the everyday moments of life. Someone once said to me, it's not about the wow moments in our journey of faith. It's often the mundane moments, the washing up, the getting up, making your bed, doing the hoovering, sitting at your computer, sending an email. Whatever your mundane is in your life, be thankful for God in the mundane. See God in the ordinary. See God in the mundane. I really like that. I hold on to that. Seeing God in the mundane. Don't know what that looks for like for you, your mundane this week. But I pray that you see God in the mundane this week. So maybe just a question just to get us going, just for you to think on. When was a time in your life when you knew the Lord's presence? These pilgrims walking towards Jerusalem were looking forward to being in the presence of God in the temple. When was a time when you knew the presence of the Lord? Is there a desire for us to know the presence of Jesus afresh today? I hope there is for each of us as we gather together tonight. James 4 verse 8 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Isn't that lovely? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. As we take a step towards God, God's always with us. But there's that sense that we get his presence as we step to him. And there's many parallels and similarities between the journey of the pilgrims travelling towards Jerusalem and us today as pilgrims journeying through life. Journeying to eternity with Jesus. And so hear the words of the psalmist as we start just unpicking this psalm for a few minutes. Listen to these words he starts with. There it is. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? As the pilgrims journey towards Jerusalem, they'd have looked up at the hills and the mountains. They'd have been in the valleys looking up at these huge mountains, feeling very small. And mountains are a place in the Bible, as you probably know, where they're a place of encounter, aren't they? They're places where you would go to meet the Lord. Mount Sinai, in particular, is the one that comes up many times. They're places where they'd have felt near to the Lord. But also, as these pilgrims were walking along, they would have noticed other shrines along the way, maybe other gods that people were trusting in and reaching out to. And so they would have looked up maybe and gone, where does my help come from? Does it come from me just working harder, walking faster in the valley? Does it come from these other shrines and other gods? They'd have been asking that question. I want to show you a picture. This is one of my favourite places. That's in the Yorkshire Dales. That's I think it's in the Langdale, the Greater Langdales, that is. And I put the top there, on the top right-hand side, there's a lovely cliff face, a lovely sort of rock face there called Pavey's Ark. It's a lovely tarn, little lake at the bottom. And I'd been climbing there about 20 years ago with my friend who was a good climber, and I was just hanging on behind him. But I went up there, and I know there's a scramble you can do without ropes. I thought, I'm going to take my family up there. We can do this. It's the sort of thing my dad would always do to me. And I thought, right, I'm going to do it to my kids. Barry's laughing because he knows what my dad's like. He would take us terrible places. So I thought, right, I'm going to inflict my kids on this as well. Took them up there. We had a look at this scramble, and actually I was sensible and I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. It looks wet and slippy. We'll go the long way round. So we had to walk all the way up, round the back of that dark grey bit, all the way round the back. And as we were getting round the back of there, we were getting tired. We lost the path. We were just in this open kind of moorland, quite boggy, didn't know where we were going. I did the classic dad bit and stormed on ahead. Right, I'll fix this. And off I went and made it worse. My young daughter, who was only about 8 at the time, started crying. And she shouted, can we just get a taxi? You know, she was in that moment of, oh, I think her words were, can we get an Uber? You know, it's like, where are you going to get that from? But actually, she was right. At that moment where it all went wrong, we came back together. My wife was very sensible. She gave us a drink. We had some food. We got some energy. And we went again. And we looked at the map. And we looked at where we're doing. But sometimes the best thing we can do when we answer this question, where does my hope come from? The best prayer we can ever do is, help, Lord. Help. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. It's the simple one. And my daughter did it perfectly. She went, help. We need a taxi. We need a way out. We need help. And sometimes when we look to the hills and we look at all the issues and problems around us, where does my help come from? It sounds like a Sunday school answer, doesn't it? But it's always the best answer. It always comes from Jesus. Jesus is our help. He is the one who saves. He is our Saviour. And so don't ever be afraid to say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need your help. We can always ask Jesus. He is the one who saves. And then so the psalmist himself actually answers the question, doesn't he? Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And that's so lovely, isn't it? It's so good to be reminded of that. Allow those words just to sink in. Where does my help come from? Where does it really come from? Does it come from me? Does it come from my abilities? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Some commentators on this passage think that this psalm might have been a conversation of two people walking together, having a chat along the way. You can imagine one going, I lift my eyes to heaven, where's my help come from? And then his mate going, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And I really like that. I like this idea of walking together with friends, encouraging each other, building each other up, reminding us along the way of life's journey that we need each other and we need to keep trusting in the Lord. I sense there's a conversation in the journey, and you can imagine them talking. You can hear it in verses 3-8 in a minute. They're encouraging each other. They're reminding each other of what God is like. And maybe you're one of those people at the moment that can be the encourager and go, hey, come on, remember, your help, hope is in the Lord. Or maybe you need a buddy at the moment to come alongside you and go, hey, remember, your hope is in the Lord. I hope we've each got people around us that we can build up and encourage and do journey of life with, that we can pilgrim with. Maybe think about who some of those people are that you can encourage this week. Those people that you can say, Lord, they need to know that you are with them, that you are the maker of heaven and earth. Isn't that amazing? That the one who made heaven and earth is your help and my help and your friend's help and your family's help. He is the one who helps, the maker of heaven and earth. Thank you, Jesus. And so, why would they have needed a bit of help? Because they would have probably been walking along paths that were pretty dangerous and rocky, worse than my little experience up in the Yorkshire Dales. He says this, who is this maker? What is he like? He's the one who will not let your foot slip. He watches over you and will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. This is our Lord. This is the one who helps. There would have been no roads, only uneven paths and at times there had been danger of slipping or falling. They were vulnerable. There was hazards all around them. No medical care. They needed to be watched over and kept safe. I just want you to remind you that the Lord watches over you today. He is the one who doesn't sleep. He never slumbers. He doesn't just switch off and go, oh, I missed that moment when Mark needed me. The Lord never slumbers nor sleep. He watches over you. Isn't that amazing? The maker of heaven and earth sees you right now. Every moment of your life, he watches over you. And his hand is over you, his hand of protection, his hand of love. We need to hear these things, don't we? We need reminding of these things, that the Lord is with us, watching over us both day and night. This is good news for us today. And then another image that they would have had as they walked along their journey. This is taken from some of the images from the prodigal son, the Good Samaritan story. But again, it would have been a risky road they were taking, a dangerous road. There would have been, they'd have known that the pilgrims were walking this trail with money in their bag and going to Jerusalem. They would have been vulnerable. And so there was a natural fear of attackers. Walking in a distant land, vulnerable, easy targets. And yet it says this, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. And for us in lovely, not very sunny England, slightly soggy Somerset, we don't always think, oh, I'd love some shade. But just imagine that image in walking to Jerusalem. If you found a bit of shade, oh, imagine the relief you'd have had just being able to sit under a tree for a moment, have a drink, refuel and go again. That's the image of our Lord, his mighty right hand casting a shadow over these pilgrims, these people walking. The Lord watches over you. He brings you comfort. He brings you shade, brings you protection. This is our God. This is Jesus. This is our Lord who we love and we follow and we trust. The Lord watches over you. He's your shade at your right hand. Hope you're feeling encouraged tonight. We're hearing these words, probably words that are familiar to you, but I just hope you're hearing them afresh, that the Lord watches over you. He is with you. He is for you. And then verse 5 is also a bit strange, the end of verse 5. So it says, the sun will not harm you by day, this idea of the shade, but it also says, nor the moon by night. And although I talked about the fact there'd been real danger of heat stroke, him and so the Lord bringing comfort and shade and relief and covering, imagine that, they've been so lovely. But it was also strange that they used to think that the moon caused disease and harm. So for us, we might go, well, why is the moon going to harm me? You'd think, well, that's lovely when you get a full moon. I love the full moon out on the levels where I live, and you can just look out and see for miles and the moon showing my way as I walk my dog at night. I love those evenings. And we know that the moon, how that works and functions, but they wouldn't have known that. And so they thought the moon brought disease. Interesting, isn't it? And so the moon will not harm you by day. Maybe it's a reminder to us that whatever we're going through, whether we're struggling with sickness or illness, actually the Lord is with us. The Lord is for us. He doesn't want us to be in harm. He wants to bring his healing, and I know healing's tricky because it doesn't always go how we want to be healed, do we? It doesn't always work simply, but the Lord says, no, I will not harm you. I don't want to bring harm to you. I want to bring my shelter, my protection. So the psalmist is saying that in all our needs, we have a reliable and faithful guardian. The Lord is our guardian, our protector. And they say the Lord 5 times in this passage. The Lord is our hope and our strength. They keep reminding themselves. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but as I go through life and I go through my day, I have to remind myself, the Lord is with you, me. The Lord is my shade at my right hand. The Lord won't let anything come against me. The Lord will protect me. The Lord won't let my foot slip. And so it's great as we go through life that we have these words of promise and truth that we can hold on to. And yet, we know that these aren't just blanket assurances that just go, oh, I can say your life's going to be easy. I'm sure lots of you know that's not true. Our lives aren't promised to be easy, but we are promised that the Lord will be with us, that he is faithful. In the challenges of life, the Lord God watches over us. In the King James version of this, it uses the word keep or keepeth. He is our keeper. I really like that. Jesus is our keeper, our goalie. He's the one who saves. Isn't that great? That word keepeth. I like that. He's the one who saves. Jesus is the one. I just wonder for a moment, if I just pause, how does that make you feel to know that the Lord is your guardian? He is the one who keeps you. He's the one who saves you. The Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, is your protector, your shade at your right hand. He's your guide. He's your saviour. How does that make you feel tonight? I wonder if anyone is confident enough just to shout out. How do those words make you feel? I'll say them again. And if someone, a few people just want to shout out some words, that would be great. This is the primary school teacher in me coming out now. So how does that make you feel tonight to know that you are loved by the maker of heaven and earth? That he's your helper, your protector, your shade, your guide, your keeper, your saviour. How do these words, what does that do to your soul tonight? Tell me how that makes you feel. Secure. Thank you, Jill. Safe. Brilliant. Yeah, rooted. That's great. Any others? Come on. Oh, we had a couple there. Go for it.
I was going to say humble.
Humble.
Don't feel worthy of it, but we know that you
look sad. Oh, man. Thank you, my friend. Yeah, humble, isn't it? We're humbled by the words of the Lord that says he loves you and he knows you and he's for you and he's walking with you. I missed another one at the back here. Content. Thank you. I like that. The content. Sometimes that's the thing. We don't, in life, we don't always settle and we always feel like there's more, more, more. But actually, if the Lord is with us, if he is my shade at my right hand, if he is the one who protects and covers me, I don't need to fear. Thank you. I just wanted to hear some of these words. It's really helpful. And just coming to the end of this psalm, just to hear some of these words. What a great ending to a psalm. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's a great way to end a psalm, isn't it? This is an up psalm. There are obviously other ones that are tougher at times, but this is a great psalm of encouragement for us tonight. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He'll watch over your life, your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And I don't think that verse 7, as I've hinted at already, means that he'll keep you from all harm, means that nothing bad will ever happen to God's people. I don't believe that. The psalm is not a promise that there won't be any tough times, hard times on the journey with Jesus. But it rather rejoices that we live under the umbrella of God's protective guard and faithfulness. And we can be confident and certain of his help and his presence when hardship comes. This is a statement of faith, isn't it? You can hear them saying it to each other. They're saying, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over the life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And personally, at home at the moment, my life is not straightforward. My children are finding it tricky. My son, who went off to university, has come back from university because it's not right for him at the minute. And he's paused and he's at home and he doesn't know what to do with his life. My daughter's gone to a school that she doesn't enjoy and it's tough. And it's not easy, is it? And we've each got our stories, but it's not easy. And it's interesting. I was sat with my son before coming out and just looking at my passage before I came again. And I said to my son, these are words that we have to believe. These are words of faith that we hold on to. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. And it was interesting. I'm trying to help my son, but also I'm going, no, Lord, this is the Lord. This is who God is. This is the God we believe in. He's not just about believing him when it's easy. These are words that we believe when it's tough, when it's challenging, and we don't know what tomorrow holds. We go, Lord, you watch over me. You watch over my coming and my going, both now and forevermore. I don't know your situations. I don't know where you're at the moment, but I pray that you will receive these words tonight, these words from the Lord with faith. They are faith. We take hold of the word, don't we? And we use it to build us up. We're all being encouraged to look up, to look at the hills and beyond, to look at the one who made the heavens and the earth, to look at Jesus, the one we can put our trust in, the one who promises to save us from those whose hope is in him, the one who watches over our life, our coming and our going, now and forevermore. And so we say thank you to Jesus.